Greetings, everyone, and welcome to your Midweek Miracle episode. This time, I'm reintroducing you to Reverend Jamie Nieves, who is such a dear friend. When I was interviewing her, our riffing back and forth, our laughter, just reminded me how much I miss her so very much. And it was really great to just reconnect with a friend from school and catch up on everything that Reverend Jamie has been doing. Now, I don't know if you remember from her prior appearance on the show, but Reverend Jamie was so determined to be a veterinarian when she was younger. And then, you know, the best laid plans. She spent the next 20 plus years working in advertising, marketing, and television promotion in Alabama and Colorado. After that, Reverend Jamie chased the wild goose, which is another gorgeous name for the Holy Spirit in Christianity, and she became a Hispanic Latino Plan missionary for the United Methodist Church's General Board of Global Ministry in 2008. And then in 2011, she became a licensed local pastor, serving two churches on Colorado's Eastern Plains. But as with everyone, Reverend Jamie contains multitudes. And her passion for animals, despite not being a veterinarian, has found another outlet in the form of her animal advocacy. She has christened herself the Creature Preacher, which I kind of love because, you know, in my mind, I think creature and I think Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch. So, I mean, you could say that Reverend Jamie is the Creature Preacher for every kind of animal and insect, every living being on the planet, including those we haven't quite discovered yet. She has multiple books to her name, and we'll talk about that later in the podcast. But she is doing incredible work for those who do not have a voice. So without further ado, here's my interview with my dear friend, Reverend Jamie Nieves.
And then he went on and he said, and there was a man came with it. He said, who's the preacher? That was my dad. He said, did he have Alzheimer's or something? And I'm like, yeah, he died of Alzheimer's. He said, well, he's coming across with the cats. He said, the cats are telling me. Okay, he said, okay. The cats are telling me, he said, are you writing books? And I said, yes.
Jamie, I am so grateful to have you back on the podcast. And not only because I kind of love and admire you from afar, because I'm in New Mexico and you're in California, but we went through seminary together. We were in school at iLift together, and you've actually already been on the podcast.
Yes. And thank you for asking me back. It's such a joy to be with you.
Are you kidding?
Kindred sister. So I love to see you again. Thank you.
it's entirely my lucky day. Let's just put it that way. I had a friend pull a tarot card for me today, this morning, and she texts me with a little picture and what it says. And today the card she pulled was Lucky Duck, which I think is so appropriate for today and us getting together. I just have to tell you, especially with, you know, your passion, which you did talk about the last time you were on the show. And for everyone, I just want to remind everyone that Jamie, really close to her heart, a huge passion for her has been to become the Creature Preacher. And would you describe a little bit about what that means to you?
Creature Preacher is, of course, preachers, being a preacher to all God's creatures, not just two-legged, but because when God created all creatures and called all creatures good, all creatures, two-legged, four-legged, eight-legged, more-legged, all of God creatures, because I believe that, it is my opinion, that God's perfect plan for creation is that we are all interconnected. We are all dependent upon each other to provide the abundant life that God wants us to have for each other. We all are dependent upon each other, and we all rely on each other. So we are all here together on this earth to give each other respect and love. So we're all in this together. So I am the creature preacher for all God's creatures together, not just people, but everything, because we are all equal and equally loved and respected in God's eyes. So creature, preacher for all creatures, everybody, all creatures in God's eyes.
Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I do feel like a creature.
Don't we all, right?
And I do, I really, you were like naming off all the numbers of legs, and instantly my mind went to like the million-legged millipede or whatever it's called. And yep. I think it would be included too.
Absolutely. It absolutely would. As one of God's creatures. So, yep.
Yes, yes. I think there is one up here in New Mexico that you can look at, but you can't touch because it like lets off all these little barbs. So it's like, oh, that's a really pretty centipede or millipede, but it's toxic to your skin. So Yes. Don't, you can look and don't touch sometimes. Yes. I figure like a good rule of thumb is the more legs, don't touch it.
Yes. And to those, the preacher says, we will love it and bless it from afar. we will do what we have to keep it safe. We won't squish it. We don't squish it. We let it be, but we just don't touch it with our hands, and we bless it from afar. We give it water from afar, and we do what we can from afar, but we don't touch it.
I love that. I wanted to tell you, I saw this, you know, there's a lot about the internet and social media that I don't like, but a friend sent me this really amazing video, and it made me think of you. It was scientists from Nat Geo caught this video of a mako shark with a little orange octopus on its back hitching a ride. And so this shark is just underneath the surface of the water, and the octopus is like, I guess, glued on with his tentacles. And, you know, you wonder, are they friends? Are they having a good time together? Like, did the octopus say, hey, it's like too far to go where I want to go, can you give me a ride? Or was it an accident? Is it just a giant accident? And one of the scientists said, I wonder what the octopus is going to do when he finds out this mako shark can go 50 miles an hour. But I love that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so much, I think, that we don't know.
Yes.
About animals, their emotional intelligence, the way their minds work.
Yes.
I actually got my blood drawn today, and the gentleman, you know, he said, I hope this doesn't hurt. And I said, I'm a beekeeper. I've been stung so many times. This is like a walk in the park. And he, you know, that was that sharing that I was a beekeeper was what got him. So that I wasn't impersonal anymore. I wasn't just, and he just perked up and he said, oh my gosh. And he had all these questions and he wanted to share what he knew about bees. Mm-hmm. And so I think animals can be a great, animals, insects, they can be a great bringer together.
Yes.
Different humans.
Absolutely. They can be. And I post a lot of things on my webpage about bees, how important they are to our civilization, humankind. Bees are so important. So when you see a bee, don't smash it. Don't be afraid of it. Bees do so much for us. And they are. It's the same with dogs. You know, if you see people walking dogs, they're a great way to start conversations, to be in community with each other. It's wonderful the way they can bring people together. Bees, dogs, you know, cat people can come together. And what you were saying earlier about relationships, we don't know the relationships animals can have with each other. You know, we assume that, you know, sharks and octopuses can't be friends. We don't know that. They can have these unusual relationships with each other. And we can't begin to understand that. But that's something that they just have. And we can learn about that.
Absolutely. I mean, as I was leaving, the gentleman who took my blood today, I said, you know, I mean, bees have been around for 100 million years. So I think they might know a little bit more than we do. I mean, especially about community building, you know, there is no ego. There is the queen in the hive, but, right. You know, they all serve her and the queen does what she does.
Sure.
But everybody works together and nobody's. And by the way, it's a matriarchal society because the drones are only good for one thing and then they're kind of chased out of the hive.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. You never know when you have these you expect it to be kind of an anonymous kind of quick interaction with someone. But I think a lot of people are deeply invested in the world, in maybe their own thing. Maybe this gentleman only loves bees. Like, how do I know? But animals, bees, insects, it's just people get so excited.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. They're fascinating.
Yeah.
And they're so important to our well-being, our lives. And we don't begin to understand that, how important bees are to us. We don't think about that,
but yeah,
they are to our absolutely survival. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know you've been on the show before, but I would love for you to do just an introduction of who you are. Introduce yourself to my audience. I love for them to re-meet you again.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, I am the creature preacher, but my name is Jamie Nieves. I am an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church. I am currently serving a church in Southern California in Alhambra. I'm loving it here. My dad was a United Methodist elder, so I'm following in his footsteps. And I just, this is my fourth appointment. I think I've been in ministry for 17 years, but in parish ministry, serving a church for 14 years. So I'm loving it. But for the past 12 years, I've just felt that calling just to really serve animals, creatures, and just talk about teaching kids, really kids, about not dominion. I hate that word. Dominion is so outdated. I don't like dominion, especially in this current world. I don't like dominion. I like stewardship. How we can teach kids how to be good stewards of animals, of each other, of each other's hearts, of the oceans, of the mountains, of, you know, wherever we go. How can we be good stewards to each other, to every, how do we be good stewards? So in that context, I've written a couple of children's books. How can we be good stewards, you know, to our animals, to our friends, to our teachers, to elderly people, to people who are differently abled? How can we be good stewards? How would God want us to be good stewards to these people? Because I think that's so important. It begins with our animals. If we can't be good stewards to animals, if we can't treat them with love and respect, how are we going to do that to people that are so different from us? And it just seems to me that there is so much hate and anger and division in this world. If we can't even start with being loving and good stewards to our animals, what are the chances that we're going to be good stewards to people that are so different from us, people that we disagree with? So that has got to be key for the younger generation, for kids. So that is kind of my thing, just being good stewards of animals, of God's, of creation, of the water, of the sky, of the places where we go camping. How can we be good stewards of places like that? So that's been my passion for the past 12 years. And I just want to get that message out to kids so they can teach adults and they can spread the words to their friends and get the words out, I think.
Gotta get them young. That's what I always say.
There you go. Exactly.
Yeah. And while you were talking, I was listening to you, but I was also thinking of the word fellowship.
Yes.
And what I like about, you know, people think about fellowship and they think about humans getting together, conviviality, maybe a soup supper or potluck or what have you. But fellowship to me, it kind of removes all the ego, you know.
Yes.
And so I think fellowship, you know, stewardship and fellowship for the creatures and insects, because I think that word dominion is so violent and so laced, with colonialism.
Ego-oriented. Yes, that's why I hate it. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you talk about fellowship and you say, hey, we're going to welcome everybody, all the animals, all the insects.
Yes.
Maybe our neighbor who is half insect. We don't know, potentially. If you invite them to the table of conversation, it's giving everyone equal respect and a voice.
Yeah, and a voice. Yes.
That's what you want.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
But, okay. I'm so grateful. Yeah. So I am intrigued. Color me intrigued. Now, this passion, this love, this urge, the creature preacher. Okay, I'm going to guess, and maybe I'm going out on a limb, but as a kid, you loved animals. Is that true?
How could you guess? You must be psychic. How could you guess?
And so do you think, was this something imparted by your parents? or was it just inside of you, who you are?
You know, it was just, I think it was just inside of me. As a little kid, I loved animals. And back when I was really little, I wanted to be a veterinarian. And I wanted to be a veterinarian until I found out that you had to actually open up an animal, you know, cut open an animal to have surgery on it. And then I thought, oh no, I'm not cutting open an animal. And my parents were like, well, honey, you have to, you know, operate on an animal. Oh no. And then I found out we have to cut open an animal like in medical school. Oh no, I'm not doing that. So when I found out you had to do that to help an animal, I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. So forget being a veterinarian. So then I thought, well, maybe I can do something else. But then I kind of let that go. But I always loved animals. I've always loved animals. And then it became more of an advocacy. Well, I want to help animals then. I maybe not want to care for them in a medical sense, but I want to advocate for them. I want them to be treated right. I want to help them be treated right. So then it became advocacy. Yeah.
Were you allowed to have pets as a kid?
Oh, yeah. We had dogs. I grew up with dogs. Not really cats, but dogs. Loved my dogs, yeah.
And can I ask what one of your favorite memories of your dogs is?
Yeah, I think we had I remember when we were a little bit older, my dad, we had been wanting a dog. And dad would always say, well, we never, you know, bought a bred dog. It was always a rescue dog at the humane shelter. And so my dad would say, well, we'll go to the, you know, the humane shelter one day and get a dog. And so one day, he'd been talking about it for a while. And one day he was coming home from a meeting or something. And he came in, he went in the garage. My sister and I were like in the other room or something in the front room. And mom was in the kitchen making dinner. So he came in the garage and through the kitchen. And he said to my mom, he's like, come here. And she went outside and he opened up the car door. And there's this little poodle schnauzer, and it was a little gray, and he was shaking. He was in the passenger on the floor, and he was shaking, and my mom went, oh, John. So he had picked him up, and then he brought him in, and my sister and I went, oh, we love him. We named him Chico. Oh, and we loved him from then on, and he was the best dog. We had him for a long time, so Chico was our pet for a long time, and we just loved him. Yes, that was a fond memory that how we got him. We were surprised by them. So dad fell in love with them. So that was a great memory.
I have to tell you, and I'm sure you would agree, that I'm addicted to the dodo.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so let me just tell you, when these people are like, I found this dog in the middle of nowhere, and it was frozen, and there was no food, and it had been there for 2 months, and I saved it and brought it, you know, and then they, you know, have this lovely journey of bringing the dog back to life, and then someone adopts the dog, and mm-hmm. and the dog's running around and so happy and barking its tail off, and it has new doggy friends, and it's and so those I'm telling you, those reels get me every time. I'll just be like, and honestly, my social media now, when I open it, the first video is the dodo. It knows it. It's like, I'm gonna get you sucked in here, and you're not going to be able to leave. But then I start weeping. I'm like, oh my God, these people are so amazing. Oh my God.
You every time.
Yes, I know. But I think it, let's just reel that back. And I love that your father went to the Humane Society and yep. got a dog.
Yeah.
And let's talk about all the animals that are left in shelters and that are not adopted. Because in my mind, you know, I love the use of the word stewards. If we're going to have all these animals in shelters, we have a responsibility as a race to step forward and help those animals, adopt them so that they can live good lives.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you would agree with me that every cat and every dog has its own unique personality.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a responsibility. And I think a lot of these what I think is one of my big things is they get these puppies and kittens when they're young, and oh, they're so cute, and they take them home, but then they get older, and then they're not cute, and then they give them up in the to the shelter because they're not cute anymore. Then we want to adopt something younger and cuter. And as a matter of fact, my third cat, I've had three cats now, plus the one I have now, I have Stevie this year, and then his sister Matilda, she's behind me here. But my third cat was a senior cat. She was 11, and I got her at 11 on purpose because I thought, I don't want a senior cat to die at a shelter, because they get all these little cute kitties, and then they go home, and then when they get older, oh, well, let's turn them in and get some cuter one. We get them for a life. They are our family members. That we have a responsibility to care for them. We don't turn in our grandma and grandpa when they're older and get a younger grandma and grandpa. They are our family. What is wrong with us? We're moving. Sorry, we're going to turn them in. You're getting old. I'm going to turn you and get something younger. They are our responsibility. We can't do that. We owe them a life, a good life. That is why, too, when you get, I'm going to get my friend a bunny rabbit for Easter, and then 2 months later, I don't like it, turn it in or let it go free. No. We have a responsibility to these animals. They're not disposable. They're not disposable toys. They're live, living souls who feel pain and fear and happiness and joy and need attention and love. That is our responsibilities as human beings who have the bigger brain. That's why God gave us the bigger brain, to know that we have responsibility to provide good stewardship to these animals. That is our responsibility as human beings.
I just want to let the listeners know that I'm sitting here looking at you, and your cat Stevie is right next to you. And Stevie is blind and has no sight whatsoever, has had both eyes taken out. But when you were just speaking so passionately and fervently, he was just looking at you with adoration. Did you see that? His little head was turned towards you, and he was like, preach, preach.
Or like, no, it's not Sunday. Stop preaching, Mom. It's not Sunday. He's like, oh, Lord, here we go. It's not Sunday, Mom.
He's so sweet. Oh, my goodness. He's such a sweetheart.
And I do tend to get a little bit wound up on things like that, as you can tell.
Well, I mean, we were talking before the interview began about you being on the show earlier, your desire to become the creature preacher, your vision.
Yes.
That you already saw it. And we discussed, many people have visions and they don't do anything about it. They don't move forward. They talk a lot, but they don't actually do.
Right.
But here you are 2.5-3 years later, and you have books out. You have a presence online.
Yes.
You are walking the talk.
Yes.
And that's so brave, I have to tell you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I know you're in it for the long haul because, you know, this podcast, I can't remember how long has it been, 4 years or something. Mm-hmm. A lot of people that do podcasts, they quit after 10 episodes, if they even get to 10 episodes. And writing a book and going out and promoting it or having your vision out in the world is something that you have to keep doing. You cannot stop.
Right.
And I know, I have a feeling, you said it's going a little slower than you thought.
Right.
But what do you envision? Like, if you were to dream the big dream, what would it be for the creature preacher, your books, all of it?
I think the big dream would be that I could maybe write maybe 2 or 3 more books, and then have maybe share them with other conferences, like-minded denominations like the United Methodist Churches, and they would invite me to come maybe do vacation Bible school or Sunday school or workshops, and I would go do that or preach and then do that. And I would be able to be busy enough with that I would be able to make it a viable extension ministry, and so that my bishop could appoint me to that extension ministry and I could do this full time. I could perhaps go and be a pet chaplain at a zoo or at a rescued animal sanctuary, maybe something like that, and care for animals, or somehow be able to work with animals and share my vision full time and still make enough money to sustain myself, but share the message and still and have that spiritual element. But also, it doesn't have to always be the spiritual element. I can still share the messages that are spiritually grounded without having to use. And I think a lot of the other faith traditions would agree with that. It doesn't have to be just Christian oriented. A lot of the other faith traditions would think that it's you know, it's honorable to take care of the earth and animals, and that we are all interconnected. So I don't think that is just solely a Christian message. But to do that and make that an extension ministry, so I could go anywhere that I would be invited and share the message, share the books with kids, with adults, with other groups, with animal organizations, and be able to be a pet chaplain or something like that. I'm not really sure how, but be able to do that full time.
Well, we need more pet chaplains, I can tell you. And I've actually had one pet chaplain on the show. And
you have.
Yes, she went to ILF, shocking. But
I love that.
Yeah, she's had lots and lots of dogs. She is absolutely an animal lover. And she shared a story. I mean, I want to talk about the cover that I can see right behind you right now. I think it would be, yes, with the rainbow. Mm-hmm. And can you tell me a little bit about that book? Because I'd like to talk a little bit about the sentiment and the idea behind the book.
Sure. That book is called, it's called Lolly and Mix's Adventures, Lolly and Mix's Lessons Across the Rainbow Bridge. And Lolly and Mix, Mix is based on my first cat, my first calico cat. And Lolly is a little girl who lives, she visits her grandma, Grammy Rose, every weekend because she lives close to her Grammy Rose. And her Grammy Rose has this elderly cat named Mix. And so when Lolly comes over, she takes care of Mix. She brushes her fur. She helps Grammy Rose feed her and play with her, you know, with her toys. And so one weekend, Lolly goes over there and Mix isn't there. So Lolly looks under the bed and looks everywhere for Mix. And she finally says to Grammy Rose, "Grammy Rose, where is Mix?" And Grammy Rose sits down and she says, "Well, honey," she says, "actually, Mix is in here. She crossed the rainbow bridge." And Lolly says, "What's that?" And Grammy Rose says, "Well, the rainbow bridge is where all the kitties, the older kitties go and all the animals go when they're done with this place on earth." And they cross the rainbow bridge, and the rainbow bridge goes across to God's perfect meadow, where they're happy, they're healthy, and they can play all the time. And so Lolly says, "Well, will they ever come back?" And she says, "No, they stay there, but she still keeps an eye on you. She still loves you." And she says, "Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to miss Mix. I'm never going to see her again." And Grammy Rose says, "Well, you were a very good steward of Mix. You took very good care of her." And she said, "Well, what does steward mean?" And she says, "Well, steward means you took care of Mix. You brushed her fur and you played with her and you fed her. And so you are a very good steward of Mix. And I think that you and Mix will be able to show other kids how to be good stewards of their pets." And Lolly says, "Well, how are we going to do that?" And Grammy Rose says, "Oh, I think you'll be surprised." So that is the ending of that book. And the second follow-up book is where Mix comes back with Jesus. And they come back. Lolly keeps having dreams where Mix and Jesus come across the rainbow bridge with different animals, water animals from the sea. And they say, "You know, when you come to the sea, please don't throw trash into the water. This is our home. We want you to respect the water. Don't throw plastic in the water. Don't throw your trash in the water." And Jesus says, "When you come, tell all your friends to be good stewards of the water." And then the next time Lolly has a dream with animals in the forest, when you come here, please respect our home. This is our home. And Jesus says, you know, don't try to make these animals aren't pets. They need to be left wild. So when you come, make sure your friends put out their fires, their campfires, and make sure you don't leave anything behind except for your footprints. So Jesus and Mix are telling Lolly in these dreams how to take care of all these other animals, being good stewards of these other animals. So that's what that dream is about. These animals who have passed, gone across the rainbow bridge, are coming back to Lolly, telling Lolly how to tell her friends to be good stewards of all these other places, animals in other places.
I love that. I mean, I'm sure this will not be news to you, but the number of times people have said to me, you know, and this is 3 to 6 months after their beloved pet has died, the number of times that people say, oh yeah, I mean, my cat came back. I had a guest on here, the pet chaplain. She said she had this sweet little dog that was the love of her life, and he passed away. And about a month after he passed away, she was in bed, and all of a sudden she felt this something hop on the bed, and then it circled 3 or 4 times and then laid down. And she was utterly shocked because there was no one on the bed, no thing on the bed. Mm-hmm. And she just knew that it was her beloved dog who'd come back for one last sit. And also, I think, to say, hey, I'm okay. I'm okay. But, you know, these animals that are so dear and generous of spirit, and they love with this whole heart, like they never, never, never lose faith in us. I mean, it's very rare. Somehow they find a way, their spirits find a way to come back and tell us all is well. And I don't know if you've heard any stories like that or if you've experienced that.
I have. A lot of times. In fact, I have a story. I don't know if you are really into psychics.
Yeah.
I have a psychic I went to a couple of months ago, and it was just a psychic who was bringing back the spirits from animals who have passed, animals on the other side. So because I have 3 that have passed on the other side, of course, I signed up for that. And there were 90 something people on the Zoom. And the first one, when we came on, the first thing he said, well, I'm getting a message. I'm seeing something from a dog. And then he went on with the story. And then the guy said, oh, that's my dog. And he went on for 15 minutes. It was a beautiful story. And then he said, okay. And then he talked to his assistant. And he said, would you put up, just pick any picture and put one up. And the first thing she did was put up a picture of one of my cats. I was amazed. And he said, okay, whose cat is this? And I'm like, it's mine. It's mine. And he said, okay, Jamie. And I said, yes, yes. He said, okay. He said, this cat is coming across with like 5 or 6 other cats. And I thought, well, I've only had 3, but okay. And he just went on. He said, okay, this cat is, he came across with a real sweet cat. He said, the cat's name is Gracie. And I said, yeah, that was my second cat. I don't know how he knew that. And then he went on and he said, and there was a man came with it. He said, who's the preacher? That was my dad. He said, did he have Alzheimer's or something? And I'm like, yeah, he died of Alzheimer's. He said, well, he's coming across with the cats. He said, like, the cats are telling me. Okay, he said, okay. The cats are telling me, he said, are you writing books? And I said, yes. He said, are they children's books? And I said, oh my goodness, yes. He said, they're telling me that you're writing books. Are they about animals? And I said, oh my goodness, yes. He said, okay, they're telling me that you're writing books about like the healing nature of animals or something. Is that right? I'm like, oh my goodness, yes. And he said, okay, who's Lolly? And I said, that's one of the characters in my book. And I'm like, oh my goodness. He said, okay. He said, and Mix? I'm like, that's one of my other cats. And he said, okay. He said, so I'm seeing you writing like 14 or 15 books. And I said, well, I would love to. I said, I've written three. I said, but it's very, very expensive to publish. I said, so I don't think I'll be writing more than one or two more. And he said, this is what really almost made me cry. He said, your cats are telling me that they love what you're doing. So they're going to. Find money to write more books because they love what you're doing. And I couldn't believe he said that. They're going to help you find funding to write at least one or two more books. And I couldn't believe that he said they're very proud of you and they love what you're doing. And I couldn't believe he was saying all of that. All I did was send a picture. And I just put Jamie's cat was what I is how I put it. And he knew nothing. I said nothing about anything else. And he got all of that out of that one picture.
Wow. I think you should go with 14 books. Like just like say, I'm going to do the whole enchilada. This whole enchilada is mine. I'm going to do the 14 books. And by the way, what's to stop you? Because you literally have this kind of spiritual army of cats that has your back and is, and not only that, but they're witnessing you. They are witnessing you and they're witnessing your work. And they're like, we're gonna do the money, you know. And you know, cats. I just watched this funny Dodo, of course, again, where this family was like, you know, they're interviewing the dad, and he goes, "Yeah, I don't know. Every day there's something weird on our doorstep, and we think it's the kids who are just like giving us a hard time." And you know, there's a pair of swim trunks, and then there's a pair of socks, and then there's a pair of like goggles, and then there's a swimsuit, and then there's, you know, and they have this lost and found that's like this big giant box of things that have just appeared on their doorstep. And the dad finally said, you know, I gotta figure this out. What is happening? So they put cameras up outside of the back door. What do they see night after night? Their cat going to all the neighbors, snagging clothes off the line, stealing things that the kids have left in the yard. The cat has been stealing from all the neighbors for years. So that, you know, they had to have this like big kind of out. They had to put themselves out on social media and say, hey, we might have your clothes. If you've been missing like your ski goggles or your socks or your, we've got it. Here's the giant picture of all the things we have. And so, you know, the neighbors, you know, kudos to them. They were like, we think this is the funniest thing we've ever, we thought there was like a kid who was just playing pranks and stealing clothes off our line and whatever. So the neighbors were pretty cool about it. But, you know, all that to say, cats can find things and bring them home. And so yes, there is no doubt in my mind that these beautiful animals that you took care of, they will find the money and they'll bring it home to you.
That blows my mind. That is so sweet that these animals from the other side are still with me, watching over me, knowing what I'm doing and helping me find money to write books about animals and cats and everything. I just think that's amazing that they're doing that. And that that just warms my heart that they would know that. I just think that's amazing.
Well, I mean, I think what it says is that the love continues on.
Yes.
After.
Yes, absolutely. It does.
Because I've certainly lost my favorite animal. Sorry, everybody. My favorite cat was Fatty Lumpkins, who was just absolutely the cat after my heart. And he was so sloppy. He was like this sloppy, gross little fatty who just had no self-respect, but he was really cute and just a little nubbins. And he and I just, I mean, became the best of friends. I mean, quite honestly, and there was nothing I wouldn't do for him. And he's come back to me several times, you know, mm-hmm. in dreams. And one time actually literally came after he'd passed away. And I had a really singular experience with him that is inexplicable. But I think it's important just to note that the love continues on. Yes. And that these animals that we've taken care of and cherished can become our biggest advocates even after death.
Yes, I love that. And they all are with you. With these cats, I've had my hair back in a ponytail and been laying back on my elbows, and I'll be with this one and I'll feel somebody tug my hair and I'll go, Matilda, stop it. And then I'll see her come down the hall and I'll go, wait a minute. And there's nobody behind me, but someone will pull my ponytail. And I'm like, okay, was that Mix? Was that Matilda? Was that Gracie? Or was that Lexi? But they will yank my ponytail so my head goes back. And I always think it's her, but I'll see her coming back down the hall into the bedroom. And that's happened several times. So well, I think they're with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, and they're still stinkers even after they've passed
still
away.
Still messing with my ponytail.
Well, yep. I would love for you to share. This podcast is all about miracles and magic, and you and I have been discussing, and you said something came to you that you'd like to share, and you think it's a good story for this podcast of something magical or miraculous or even mysterious or all three just shaken all together. I'd love to hear whatever it is you'd like to share.
Well, the story with the cats. That was giving me the money was one of them, but that kind of the continuation of that was, I have in one of my bedrooms, I have very pretty urns of the ashes of my three kitties. And so every day when I pass them, at least once, I will talk to them and I'll thank them for helping me, and I'll tell them how much I love them. And just last Thursday, I was going by there and I told them I love them. I told them that they're in my prayers and I thanked them. And I said, you girls, I miss you so much. I said, I love you. You're my little rainbow babies and I love you so much. And I said, and thank you for loving me and for always being with me. And I said, and I don't know who all those other kitties were that came with you. I said, but thank you for bringing kitties. And I said, and thank you for something about thank you for giving me this sign or something, you were with me. So then I went to church, and my office is the church is right behind the parsonage is right behind the church. So I go across my backyard and I go through a little playground of our preschool, and then I'm right there. So I was working on my computer, and all of a sudden I heard this really loud meowing. It was really loud, and it sounded like Stevie. And I looked up, and I have a window right there. And I thought, is that Stevie? How could he get out? And it was really, really loud. So I got up, and my window wasn't even opened. And I got up, it was really loud. And I got to my window, and there was this orange cat. And he was meowing, and he sat right outside my window and stopped and looked up at me. And I said, hi, baby, how are you? And I tapped the window. He just sat there and looked at me. I said, hi, baby, are you hungry? You want some treats? I have cat treats in my office. He just looked at me. And I tapped the window. I said, hi, honey. And then the church secretary said, hey, can you come here for a minute? And I said, yeah. I said, I'll be right back. I went there to talk to something. And I came back to give her treats, and it was gone. But it meowed so loudly, and it came and sat right in front of my office, just sat there and looked at me. And I thought, that was that was a sign of some kind, but I don't know what that was a sign of. I don't know what that was a sign of.
Well, the last time you were on this podcast, you shared a story about a bird outside of your window on the patio. And yes. What I find really intriguing about both of these stories is that these animals are coming to you and they have something to say. I also love the idea of your cat having its own posse in heaven. And there's a cat posse just hanging out. And they're like, we know you're going to take this trip to see your former owner and give blessings. So we're just going to come with you. So your owner can see that you're not riding alone. But that is really fascinating. I had an orange cat for a while, and they're known as being highly, highly, highly intelligent and slightly manipulative in a good way. But I mean, obviously the cat has good taste, but how interesting that both of your stories, these animals come to you to kind of give you reassurance and to let you know that magical things are afoot. Does that make any sense?
It does. And there are plenty of cats that I see. There's a black and white one, and there's a pale peach one that comes here, but I've never seen that orange one. And there is another, there's a squirrel that came here. I have a little walkway that goes all around my parsonage, and there's a squirrel. I call him Dexter. I don't know why, but he comes by and he comes up to the, I have a sliding glass door in my bedroom, and he comes by and he'll stop, and I'll go over to the sliding glass door and tap on the glass. He comes up and he puts his little paws on the sliding glass. I'll go, "Hi, Dexter." And he'll step back and he'll stay there. Then he'll kind of come up again. And I'll put his little paws on the glass and I tap it really softly, and he stays there. Then he runs off. And he comes by at least three or four times a week. And I just go, "Hi, Dexter." And he puts his little paws up there. Then he runs off. I don't know what Dexter wants, but Dexter comes by too. But I've never seen that orange cat before. That's the only time I've ever seen that cat. The other cats just run by, but Dexter comes by. And I don't know that orange cat, but it's really odd that I'm getting these animals coming by. And I don't know what they're trying to tell me. I wish I knew how to speak squirrel or what the cat was trying to say, but it's very interesting.
Well, I think they're all affirmations of the path you're taking, honestly, because I mean, I was just thinking, like, you are Dr. Doolittle, but Mrs. Doolittle, Mrs. Dr. Doolittle.
This is Dr. Doolittle.
Because I do think that animals can see people's energies. I mean, I think yes. Animals can see things that humans cannot.
I agree.
You know, they've proven that many bird species see in iridescent colors. They see in wavelengths that we will never be able to unless you give us maybe 5,000 years to evolve.
Yes.
But I think animals can see things. They can tell when someone is problematic or maybe scared or what have you.
Yes.
When someone needs care or maybe to stay away from someone. I think they can see things that we can't
yes,
see.
And I agree.
I think all of those animals that are passing by your window, they probably see this beautiful light coming out of the window and they're thinking, "Who is in there? What is going on?"
But I just love that. I just wish I don't know, but it's wonderful. I love that. If it is an affirmation, I love that. And I think God and the spirits and everybody who's sending me that affirmation. I love that. My kitties or whoever's sending me the affirmation. I love that. And I hope that will come to fruition soon. I think that's wonderful. I love that. So
I love it for you. I want to ask you, do you have any ideas for your next book?
I do. It's a book that I have a book, I have this book, and then the middle one right there is called Whiskers and Wisdom. And it's a book that these two cats wrote. It's a book that Stevie and Tilly wrote. It's their lessons, 9 lessons for their 9 lives that they wrote because they're blind. Stevie, obviously blind without any eyes. And Matilda has one eye that was surgically removed. And then she's got one eye, but it's probably only 30% vision. So it's eyes being bold, being courageous, being patient, that they have written. So one lesson Matilda writes, one lesson Stevie writes. So I have another idea because the other Lolly book is being illustrated now. Hopefully it will be done. I'm hoping in the fall, in the late, maybe the winter, it will be done. But I have another idea for these guys, for a second book for these guys, that hopefully they have an idea of a book they want to write. So, but after that, I don't know. I have a couple of ideas swirling in my head, but I have another book idea for Stevie and Tilly that I would like to do.
Well, I have to tell you, Stevie looks pretty determined. So I think this book is going to come out. I mean, just has this look that Stevie's unstoppable. And, you know, we need more. I mean, I think I love animals. So I feel like we always need more whiskers. I do at least because I love animals. And all of us, every single person in this world needs more wisdom, just in general, to be honest, if we're all being honest out there.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that you found this illustrator and you're being so brave putting these books out, because it can be completely unnerving and completely terrifying to put yourself out there. But I know, I suspect it's the love of animals that like propels you forward. Is that true?
Yes. The love of animals and the love of the message, just to get the message across. Just because I'm so afraid. I put something on my personal Facebook yesterday. And it's a meme that I found, and it's true. It says, the reason I am so dedicated to helping animals is because there are so many people who are dedicated to hurting them. And I think that's true. There are so many people, I've seen so many videos that I wish I had not seen, because it just enrages me. And it's so important. My love of animals, it doesn't take anything to be nice to an animal. And some people are just so, I don't think they can ever be helped, because that's just, they're never going to understand it. But kids are so, this is our future. These are our generation growing up. And it is so important that I get that message across to kids. We have to be good stewards of animals. And it's such a passion. It doesn't take anything to be nice to an animal, to be kind, to be a good steward of animals, to have fellowship with other people, to have fellowship with animals. It doesn't take anything. And we learn so much. We can learn so much from animals, and it can make us feel so good to know we've been kind to an animal. And that's the message to get across. I'm so passionate about that because I love animals so much, and they do so much for our world, and we are connected to them. And I just feel like so important. That is my message. So if I can just get that message across and some kids can read it and share it with their friends, who can share it with their friends, who can share it with their friends, then I will feel like I have made a difference in this world. If I can have people spread that message, I will feel like I have done what I can in this world to help animals.
Yeah. And you have that heavenly cat posse with your back. So I think, you're, heading in the right direction.
I hope so. I hope so.
I need to get me one of those.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do have a posse. Probably not just cats, probably a lot of animals. You had a bee posse. You probably have a lot of a big posse of a lot of different creatures with you.
My 40,000 bees who have my back.
See, and that's pretty impressive. 40,000 bees is a lot. And that's pretty sweet, honey. Pretty sweet.
I like what you did there. Pretty sweet.
I knew you wouldn't miss that.
That's it. That is my really sweet but rollicking and hilarious interview with my dear friend, Reverend Jamie. To find out more about what this work is she's doing in this world, this incredibly powerful work she's doing for the animals and for those without a voice, there will be a link in the episode's show notes. We need people like Reverend Jamie in the world to remind us that all life is sacred, that the earth you walk upon is sacred, that basically you should get out of your bed, which is also sacred, walk out your front door, and everything you see before you, well, you should consider it to be sacred, because we are not in this world by accident. There are mysterious happenings afoot. And once you dive into that, once you decide to collaborate with that energy, with that mystical power, well, your life will change. Thank you for listening to this podcast. And I need to thank Reverend Jamie for agreeing to be on the show again. It was such a delight to reconnect with her. Please do consider giving a rating or a review. It helps so much and helps other people find the podcast. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like Reverend Jamie.
be an advocate for those who don't have a name, whether it's people who are homeless, whether it's people who are suffering from mental illness, whether it's people who need food and they go to the food bank, whether it's the animals around you, the insects, or even our beautiful public lands that the administration is trying to sell to the highest bidder. Be an advocate with your voice for those that need it. I really believe in you guys. I really, really believe in you, because together we're gonna make this world we live in a more equitable place, a fairer place for everyone to live in, an opportunity for everyone. Well, it goes as far as the eye can see.